Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Chris Mason will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get into some goalie talk with C. Mays. But for now, our friend, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins the show. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. I missed you last week, so glad that I get to catch up with you today. You know, I was on with our morning show this morning, and they asked me, you know, what's kind of fair to expect from this trio of DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd? And I said, look, I think that we can expect a lot, given that they're all veterans and that they've done a lot and accomplished a lot in their careers, but it's all with the caveat of the quarterback. It's all with the caveat of, can Will Levis kind of take those steps moving forward? So I'll ask you, Tim, what are maybe some things to look for as we go throughout the preseason and offseason, as we, you know, enter into the regular season in the first couple of weeks? What are some things to look for to maybe give us encouragement that Will Levis is or maybe isn't taking those steps forward?
Yeah, I think that, you know, until the preseason, you know, there's really not going to be anything, right? Like, from now until we actually see guys in game uniforms playing, we're going to hear about how everybody's in the best shape of their life and, you know, they've added 15 pounds of muscle and they're not, you know, they've changed their diet and they're doing amazing. And then, you know, out of OTAs and training camps and, you know, mini camps and things like that, you're going to hear, these guys are doing great. But you don't really know until you get out there and there are some live bullets. And so I think that that's really, I think that's how this will go. I think everyone will say the right stuff. Everyone will be excited about everything you just said, Caroline, in terms of the experience and, you know, probably the production that's expected from the receiver group and how the quarterback is coming along great and he loves the new offense and the offensive line is going to be better because Bill Callahan's there. But you don't know until you know, and you don't know really until you start playing real games.
It is that season of, I've never been in better shape in my life. Everything's great. May, June, July, it's definitely that time of year. Tim Hasselbeck is with us.
I might just start saying that, by the way, because, like, I actually think I'm in the worst shape of my life.
Just go ahead and say you're in the best shape of your life.
But
perception is reality,
time,
Tim.
I think if I just say, like, yeah, I'm doing great. This is the best shape of my life. You know, 46, never felt better. Like, because there's no way it's true for all these guys that are saying it. So, like, I might just adopt that and just start making stuff up as well.
The truth is overrated anyways. Just, you know, you say whatever you want.
Hey, Tim, you got 50 other guys, little guys, that are looking at you, man. So you need to get in shape, man. You need to be in the best shape of your life. They're looking at you, Tim.
I feel that. But I also feel like I'm going to look more like Andy Reid at the end of the season than I do right now.
Trevor Maddich, I talked with Trevor on a show that I was filling in for last week, and he said for T'Vondre Sweat, he needs to figure out how to make celery taste like steak. So maybe we could all maybe adopt that diet of making celery taste like steak.
Exactly right.
Tim, we heard from Will Levis last week before rookie minicamp, and he said, you know, it's amazing the quarterbacks that Brian Callahan has worked with. Matthew Stafford, Peyton Manning, Joe Burrow. He said, but I don't want to be them. I want to be me. I want to be the next one of those. I have to think that maybe that is something that came from Brian Callahan. That's a message that Brian Callahan made sure to hammer home with Will Levis. Like, look, I don't need you to be Joe Burrow because you're not Joe Burrow. You know, kind of putting yourself in Will Levis' shoes as a second-year quarterback taking over as the full-time starter, what does that mean to you hearing that from a new head coach?
Yeah, I think that you're probably right in terms of it's probably something that was said in the meeting between the two of them. It's also probably a desire, you know, Will Levis's to, you know, be himself. It's really hard to play quarterback in the NFL, and it's even harder to try to just do it the way somebody else does it rather than, you know, how you need to do it. And I think I've maybe talked to you guys before about, like, one of the things, speaking of Andy Reid, one of the things I think that he's done an amazing job of throughout his career is kind of has his offense, but he wants different quarterbacks to have their own personality on how they play, how they lead, how they do all of that stuff. And so I think that's important because if you're not authentic and if you're trying to fake it and be like somebody else, your team sees right through it, and it doesn't work. And so I think it's the right approach. Look, Will Levis isn't Joe Burrow, so he shouldn't try to be Joe Burrow, and he shouldn't try to be any other quarterback other than himself. He has a unique skill set. He's built differently than some other guys, and I think that you got to lean into that type of stuff. And so I think it's the right approach, and I think it's just understanding, hey, these are the things that are like non-negotiables. These are tried and true. This is why it has worked for every quarterback. And then on top of that, all right, what does he do specifically well, and lean into that. And I think that most good coaches and most good quarterback coaches understand that.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, with the acquisition of Tyler Boyd and Calvin Ridley, now Will Levis has two new receivers to throw to. And everybody just expects for this passing game to, from day one, sort of, all right, we got a good passing game now. But they don't understand, just like, offensive linemen we talked about in the past, and actually I'm going to get to that with you as well, that it takes time for these things to develop. It takes time for that rapport to develop. How do you see this thing? How do you look at it from a quarterback standpoint in regards to having to throw to their veteran guys, which means they're, they have their habits, they're setting their ways. Mm-hmm. How do you then get on the same page with these wide receivers? How do you see it? Because your top two of your top three wide receivers are new, and then you're trying to work in Treylon Burks to a new offense, and everybody on the board is learning a new offense. So this thing may take a little bit more time than what we expected.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about wide receiver quarterback chemistry is like sometimes, and I think these D-Mates from the various guys you've played with, like sometimes, you just go out there and you throw for the first time and it's like, yep, kind of like, hey, love at first sight. Here we go. Like when you run an option route, like he sees it just like I see it. And, and just you can read somebody's body language. Sometimes it's just natural, and then other times, it requires a little bit more work and talking through things and communication. And then sometimes it just doesn't work. And I think one of the things that can make it more difficult is when a receiver has had success with another quarterback. And so that's certainly the case with all three, projected starting wide receivers, because those guys maybe have been doing things a certain way, and the quarterbacks that they've played with in the past were able to read their body language and were able to get a sense of an angle that they were setting and knew how, quickly they got in and out of breaks and, knew how far they could lead somebody inside on an in cut when they felt like he was dropping his hips. And so, those types of things, I think, are, oftentimes – it's just natural and easy, and then other times more difficult. And I think one of the things that makes it more difficult is past success with other guys that, have been playing quarterback, especially if they've been experienced and had success, which, again, all of these receivers have had experience with guys that have had a lot of success in the league.
Now, on the flip side, how do you see that in regards to the offensive line? Because, again, they're going to have to go through the same sort of scenario with the offensive line, albeit this one may be more important than what, how quickly you get the rapport with the wide receivers. Because, again, they're going to have at least four new guys playing next to one another. Yeah. Let's say at least four. So the offensive line, to me, the time, how do you as a quarterback, again, From you talked about the wide receivers, but how do you as a quarterback look at the offensive line with all that they have to do as far as gelling, and we don't have the time to do that?
Yeah, I think the big thing in regards to that is from a quarterback's perspective with the O-line is just the communication with really the center. Mm-hmm. Okay, like how good is that guy's communication? Like, hey, make a base call, or you flip the protection, you adjust it, like – how much, like what, the terminology and the verbiage so that, when the play clock is running down and you need to slide a protection or make an adjustment, that you're on the same page and that you just have great communication with your center. That is really important because, think back to guys, whether it was, Favre, whether it was, Manning and Jeff Saturday, or whether it's, you know, guys that have played, you know, with a center for multiple years, and they just have great communication where it's like they just kind of know what each other is talking about. That's from a communication perspective, I think, more important than saying, hey, all five guys are going to play right next to each other all season long. Like, would that be great? Yeah, it would be. But, like, you're going to have a tackle that's hurt. A guy's going to get moved to guard. Like, everybody is playing combinations. So, like, I don't think that's as big of a deal, especially if it's well coached and everybody, you know, the nine offensive linemen that are on the roster are hearing the exact same thing over and over again. They have a standard for how they do things. But I do think the communication with the communicator of the offensive line, which is the center, that, you know, can take some time and, you know, takes, you know, working with one another and quite honestly, just spending a lot of time with one another.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, you love to study the quarterback position. So how about the Jared Goff extension? $53 million per year, $170, I think, guaranteed. It's an interesting pathway, right? From the first overall pick to being benched for a while, then being traded away from a contender after he had played in the Super Bowl. He's got a pretty unique path. But what do you think about the investment in him today?
I think that we are probably undercovering what a huge deal this is for Detroit. And you're really 1,000% correct on, like, his path. Like, most number one overall picks don't get traded away to get rid of your contract and then end up, like, with a career resurgence and playing really well. But the reality is, in 2020, you know, he gets traded to Detroit. So in 2021, there's talk about him maybe getting benched. You know, they win, like, three games with him as a starter. He's, you know, throws fewer than 20 touchdowns, and Dan Campbell is fielding questions about making a move at quarterback. Well, he survives it, okay? He's got the mental and physical toughness to survive it. He then goes and plays great in 2022 and 2023, and as that's happened, everybody around him has gotten better. The offense has gotten better. The defense has gotten better. They've hit it, receiver and running back. They've done all of those things, okay? And now all of a sudden you have a 29-year-old guy who's taken two different teams to an NFC championship game. And one of those teams, he won that game and made it to the Super Bowl. And so for a 29-year-old to have accomplished that, like, I don't think people realize how good Jared Goff is. Like, you don't make it through his path the way that he has and not be really, really good. And just, by the way, like, way younger than Geno Smith, younger than Dak Prescott, younger than, honestly, like, the same age as Baker Mayfield. Like, that's how young Jared Goff is. He's played a lot of football, had playoff success. Okay, he's thrown for 9,000 yards and 59 touchdowns in the past two seasons. Like, I actually think this is a super smart investment by the Detroit Lions, and they're going to be a really good team. Like, he's got another, like, not even 30 years old. He's got another at least five really good years in him. Like, way younger than Kirk Cousins. Like he could be a starter there for the next decade.
And yet some would probably say, well, he's making the second most money behind Joe Burrow. Isn't that a little more than what other quarterbacks have done? But it kind of shows you what the market is, right, for a good starting quarterback.
Because we're talking about, well, okay, Tua's deal, and what's Dak's deal going to look like, and all these other guys who have deals coming down the pipe, they're gonna move, you know, the number, and then all of a sudden, Jared Goff is going to be, again, a guy that's taken a team to a Super Bowl, a guy that's taken two different organizations to an NFC Championship game, and, you know, there's going to be all this. You know, there's going to be all this talk about, like, all these other quarterbacks, and then they're going to end up making more money than him. I mean, that's, like, that's what will happen, especially with some of these guys that, you know, I think have the reputation of just having more physical talent and stuff like that. But, like, I if you did a blind resume on, you know, playoff wins and age, like, I just think that it would be shocking to people what Jared Goff has done and how young he still is, how much football he still has in front of him.
Well, looking back on it, here's the trade. Jared Goff plus a third rounder in 21, a first rounder in 22, and another first rounder in 23. Two firsts and a third and Goff for Stafford. So looking, that's a whole, obviously that's a grand slam trade
totally.
For the Lions, right? They have absolutely cleaned up. That's exactly what they needed. Can't say it's a failure for the Rams because Stafford in the short term won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I do wonder though, would the Rams window have stayed open longer by just keeping Goff? Could you argue maybe they could have won a Super Bowl? They almost won one with him. Maybe they would have been better off not making that trade? That's a what if.
No, it's a what if. But and listen, at the time of the trade, I said, look, I don't know if people realize what a big deal this is because, look, Matthew Stafford is a really, really good player. And, you know, like that move, like just physical ability, Stafford was better. And it worked out. They won a Super Bowl, right? So it got everyone extensions. They're still there, right? That staff has not been fired, all of that stuff. So, like, it worked. They weren't wrong. And sometimes I guess there are these scenarios where it's like, hey, both people got it right. And, like, I think it's undeniable that the Lions got it right. Now, I think they won a Super Bowl with the Rams, so, like, they got it right as well. So sometimes that happens, right? Like, sometimes both people ended up winning. I think it's clear. But the rebuild in Detroit would not have happened if they just would have held on to Matthew Stafford. He would have gotten older, more beat up. They weren't able to, you know, find the good players around him, you know, in terms of draft picks that are younger, all that stuff. Like, maybe that it just wouldn't have worked. And so I think it's clearly worked for Detroit.
ESPN NFL analyst and Ensworth head coach, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate your time today. Thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up next week.
You got it. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Tim.